Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
In the name of Jesus, the Bible said, in His light we see light. In His light we see light. Let's pray this morning, in the light of your word, cause me to see light. Oh, Shabaradabasatabaradabashabaradabara. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Isaiah 30. Let's open together Isaiah 35. I was supposed to read this, I think during the second service, but I step up now. The Holy Spirit asked me to read it, and let's receive the blessing of that scripture. Isaiah 35, I will read verse 5 to, wow, very powerful. I wish time will allow me. I will still do it in second service, because that's what God laid on my heart. The whole book of Isaiah 35. The whole book of Isaiah 35, but because of time, I will just, I see God opening our eyes this morning. So I want us, verse 5 and 6, because of time, maybe during the second service, I will go to other verses. The Bible said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. That's God's word for this service. There is an opening of eyes in this service. He said, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Whatever has stopped our ears from hearing the right things, they shall be unstopped in the name of Jesus. And look at what will happen. Look at verse 6. It said, then shall the lame, man leap as an hart. There talks about the deer. He is one of the fastest animals. You understand? Can you imagine somebody who is lame and is not the fastest? So God says to tell you this morning that He is removing whatever has incapacitated you in the name of Jesus. I see God telling us this morning there is a divine capacity coming upon us in the name of Jesus. He said the lame man will leap as an hart, and it will be surprising. This guy that can't do anything, this guy that can't walk, we are even carrying, we are, you know, a lame person is somebody that somebody is helping. They package him, they take him to church, they take him everywhere. But God says to tell you, as a result of this morning service, He will grant you speed in the name of Jesus. And look at this one. Some people, their tongue has been stopped. They can't sing. No reason to rejoice, no reason to testify. When we say praise the Lord in church, they can't even say hallelujah, because hallelujah is not flowing naturally. But God says to tell us that the tongue of the dumb will sing. Hey, I said the tongue of the dumb will sing. Now these are prophetic scriptures. God is just using physical things that we can understand to explain spiritual truth. He said the tongue of the dumb. Why are they dumb? Not because they are dumb physically, as it were, but they are dumb in the experience of life. Alright? Everybody is sharing stuff, saying something, they are just mute. Why? Because they can't really have anything to say. But God says to tell you today, as a result of this morning service, your dumb tongue will sing. Can you imagine that the first thing that comes out from the mouth of the dumb is to sing? Amen. That shows you that it's an experience that is beyond the intellectual. It's an experience that is beyond the faculty of man. And that's what God will do for us in the name of Jesus. Now this next one, I don't know how to say. Maybe during second service, I will bring us to the prayer experience of it. He said, for in the wilderness shall waters break out. And I wrote it down in my note. Water talks about three things. Number one, water talks about abundance. Number two, water talks about the move of the Spirit. Then number three, water talks about the Word of God. So in this morning service, there shall be abundance for you. In this morning service, there shall be a move of the Spirit. In this morning service, somebody will hear that will transform his or her life. In the name of Jesus. And He said there shall be streams in the desert. You know the way I interpret this stream, I call it unending flow. Say unending flow. Somebody immediately after this morning service, there shall be an unending flow. I don't know the desert experience you have found yourself in. God says to tell you, there shall be an unending flow. Unending flow of God's power, unending flow of God's grace, unending flow of resources, unending flow of finances, unending flow of favor. I pray for somebody today, every divine flow in your life that seemed to have been stopped, I stand as God's servant today, it begins to stream out. It begins to flow out. Hey, I command today, every intermittent flow, they become unending flow. Some of you that your flows are intermittent. Just the way it comes, if it comes, thank God. If it does not come, I come back. But God says to tell you today, it shall be an unending flow. For those in business, it shall be an unending flow of clients. An unending flow of clients. An unending flow of customers. For us as a church, an unending flow of members. In the name of Jesus, for every one of us, an unending flow of finances. In the name of Jesus. I want to give you minutes, pick up your Bible in your hands and begin to pray yourself into the reality of these scriptures, Isaiah 35, 5 to 6. This is a very important moment of the service. Hold your Bible in your hands. The screen can only give us maybe one verse. But you can hold your Bible in your hand, take the two verses, Isaiah 35, verse 5 to 6, and begin to pray yourself into the experience of that scripture. Somebody is asking, Pastor, what are we doing this morning? You may not know what we are doing, but when the testimonies start coming out, when the testimonies start happening, then you will understand what we are doing. Come on, hold your Bible in your hands, and begin to pray yourself into the reality of this scripture. It said, the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Hey, the eyes of the blind. Some of you after this service, you begin to see opportunities. You begin to see opportunities. Whatever it is you have not seen before, you begin to see it. Whatever it is you have not heard before, you begin to hear it. Something is happening in this service. God is changing the atmosphere. Our life. God is changing our experience in life and destiny. Embra kataba yara kataba. Embra kado shabra deskeria namashaba. Here you have been incapacitated. God says to tell you, I'm giving you capacity. I'm giving you capacity. You are lame in destiny. God says to tell you, your lameness is turned to the speed of a deer. Your lameness is turned to the speed of dear. I see God granting us speed this morning. Lord, we enter into the experience of this scripture. We enter into the experience of this scripture. Come on, come on, come on, come on, open your mouth and pray. Ella Pragadaba Shaba. Ekataba Yakataba. Ekataba Yakataba. Ekataba yara katabo rodobo ezabrahande embradaba shaba ekataba yara gadaba embradadobo soria ataba ekatabaria eshabaria kataba ekataba yara gadaba laba ekataba yara baradaba ekataba kama 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 pray 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 elazada yara gada. Embradaba sokoto, ezabaya ragadaba. I command lameness to give way this morning. 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 I command deafness to give way. I command blindness to give way. I command dumbness to give way. Ella seriana malabala balaba. Ele bragadaba shaba, ekataba yara kataba, ekataba yara kata, ebragos keria mashabra, embragadas keria kataba, embragadaba shabaria, elakatobaria masaria, embrada shabra ande shabra ande shambra, embrado shambra ande shabra, embrado shabra da shabra, ekataba rada balaba balaba, embra shabades keria namasaria. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Finally, you know, I see this rendition to point out to different areas that makes people's life to be complete. You know, once your sight is healthy, once your hearing is healthy, and once your speaking is healthy, and once your legs are healthy, there is no limit to your life. Am I correct? So I see God saying to us this, I'm activating your entire life. So in this morning, sir, there is a divine activation that will bring about a mighty turnaround. So I'm giving you 1 minute. Say, Father, I receive this divine activation. Complete, and please, as you pray, don't pray it absent-minded. Look at specific areas of your life that you are believing God for an activation. Alright? Something can be there, but it's dormant, it's dead. When you buy a SIM card, as they call it, you have to activate it. Until it is activated, you cannot make transaction with it. You cannot make communication with it. You can only give people your number, but they can't call. You can't call them. They can't reach you. You can't reach them. But when there is an activation, then there is a progress. I want you to pray for the next 1 minute. Lord, I receive total activation. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Total activation, mental activation, spiritual activation, financial activation, health activation, activation in my business, in my career, in my marriage, in my finance, in my ministry, in my health, in my business, in every area of my life. I receive total activation that will bring about testimony, and so shall it be. Jesus, precious name, we have prayer. Lord, you know the reason why you laid this on my heart. I was thinking it would be for the second service, but when I stepped up, you quickened my spirit to lead your people into this experience. Lord, I have not only read the scripture, I have communicated an experience. And I pray for everyone in service this morning, and everyone under the sound of my voice listening to this message anywhere in the world, I stand as God's servant, that the experience of Isaiah 35 verse 5 to 6 becomes your portion. I declare today a total activation of every dimensions of your life. A total activation of every dimension of your life. A total activation of every dimension of your life. Whatever the enemy has stopped in your life, I declare today it begins to operate. It begins to operate. Every flow of God that have been dormant or dead, today I activate it. In the name of Jesus, I declare an unending flow. Streams in your desert. Waters in your wilderness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. And as God's servant, I bring everyone into this experience. And I bring the church of God into this experience. We will sing for joy to the glory of the Lord. Thank you, our Father. God says to tell somebody here, you have not been singing. You have not been singing. Then when you're in sorrow, you just keep quiet. Not because you don't know grammar, but you ask yourself, what do I have to say? But God is saying to tell you this morning, you will keep singing and sharing unendingly in the name of Jesus. God says to tell you, you will keep singing, you will keep sharing unendingly. When the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they see, even the Lord has done great for them. The Lord has done great things for us, wherewith we are glad. He said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, like streams in the desert. Psalm 126. He said, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those that goes about weeping and bearing precious seed will doubtlessly return with their sheaves with them. Give me verse 10 of that Isaiah 35. That's our experience this morning. Verse 10 of that Isaiah 35. Hallelujah. Look at God's word to you, and the ransom or the redeemed or the remnant of the lost. I do what? shall return and come to Zion, the house of God, with what? Songs. Say, I receive it in Jesus. He said, an everlasting joy. Did you see that now? Not environmental joy. Not the joy that comes in January and by July, the joy has disappeared. Not the joy that came on Monday and by Saturday, you are already moody. God says that is what? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain what? Joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall... I declare today, sorrow and sighing flees away in the name of Jesus. Sorrow and sighing flee away in the name of Jesus. Lord, receive this by faith, and we give thanks for it. This morning, speak to us from your word. Let our lives not remain the same. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. All right, God bless you. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to church. Help me welcome somebody to church. This morning, you are welcome. In this morning's services, I will be praying for some specific people. Alright, I maybe this first service I will do that, but I will sure do it in the second service. I don't know who I will be praying for specifically, but God told me I'll be praying for some specific people. He will point them to me in the course of the service. But what you will need to do is to make sure that your heart is connected. Do you understand? That's the way it works. How many of you have been in a meeting where you are wishing that the man of God prays for you? I've always wished that. There is something that looks, of course, it's very powerful and special when God's servant calls you forward and prays for you. But God taught me very recently that the way it happens is not just you wishing. Alright? Most of the time, wish has not come to pass. But don't even wish it, it happens. Do you understand? I said the points or the times I wish it, it happens. So it's not by wish. Is by being connected. Do you understand? Is by what? So as we minister this morning, make sure you are connected. Because in the arsenal of the call of every servant of God is his scanner. Say scanner. Is a spiritual scanning machine. So as God's servant is ministering, his spirit is scanning the assembly, if I may put it that way. Alright? Or you may want to say the spirit of God in him is scanning the assembly. Alright, praise the Lord. If I should put on my Zender or my flash here or my Bluetooth, alright, you know what my device, first of all, they will scan, am I correct? And check which device is available, am I right? So he can keep searching if he finds no device. Even though my device, my phone or device has everything he can share. But if we first of all scan and be sure that something, someone is, you know, do you understand? Maybe you can see Toby. Maybe he named his own device Toby. That's level one. So when the word of God or the spirit of God is scanning the assembly, number one, your own device must be on. Am I right? Then number two is that there must be a connection. You know, your device can be on and I can't connect to you. I'm sure some of you, we are techie people. Do you understand? Until we establish a connection peering or something like that. Am I correct? So you can be see you, but there is no peering in the spirit. Alright? So those two things are important. You must, number one, be on. May you be on in Jesus' name. So you can come to church and be off. Off everything that is happening. But I'm sure you are on in Jesus' name. Because those number of minutes that we have spent praying has opened up our spirit. But don't only be on, be peered. And now, are you going to be peer? Number one, agree with the minister that is ministering. Because if somebody is ministering and your heart does not agree with that person, you are off peered. Amos 3 verse 3, he said, can two together except they be agreed. So there must be that agreement, alright, in the between yourself and the minister, alright. And number two, there must be a heart connection. Alright, you agree that your heart is connected. It is connected. In 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2, the story of Elijah and Elisha. When Elisha asked Elijah to give double portion of his spirit, Elijah said, you have asked for a very hard thing. But he said, okay, No problem. Just make sure, number one, you are horned. Am I correct? You are with me. Then number two, make sure you are paired. You are paired with me. He said, if you see me, when am I away, and whatever you have asked for shall be given you. So the word, if you see me, simply means if you are connected. Let it not be that the time I'm about to be taken away, that is the time you are thinking of the beans that you didn't finish cooking last night. You are wondering if PHCN will bring light for you to use your electric cooker, whatever, to complete this off when you leave service. Those are distractions that hinder people from getting the best of God in church. So you must not be distracted. Even though you are in church, you must be in touch. Say, I will be in touch. Because it is possible to be in church and not be in what? In touch. It is possible to be in what? In church and not be in touch. It is possible to be in church and not be in touch. May you be in touch in the name of Jesus. I said, may you be in touch in Jesus. Alright, this morning I'm sharing from this word, the Holy Spirit, I believe, placed on my heart. Some of you have seen it on our e-flyer. Go to the ants. Say, go to the ants. You know, it's our fast track service. Now, fast track service is more like an empowerment service. A service that is practical. Alright? Because we believe that's what is lacking in most places today. We preach about every other thing minus practical things. We preach about Holy Spirit. We preach about heaven. We preach about all of those. But we have not taught people to live their life practically. So the Holy Spirit on my heart, this topic, go to the ants. And of course, you need to understand that go to the ants is a phrase in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Guess I want you a, what do you call those people that study animals? Study whatever. Alright. Amen. I'm not. I'm just a child of God, servant of God. Go to the ant. You can see it in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 6a. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 6a. Alright, thank you. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 6a. Go to what? The ant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I don't have time, I've told you where the topic is taken from. Then I'll open one more scripture. Then I go straight into my teaching. I have just about 30 minutes or so to do this teaching. But let me quickly say this morning that isn't it amazing that God is asking human beings to go to the ants? Have you wondered why God can be telling big, I won't say big animals like us, big human beings like us, alright, to go to, can you imagine if you probably ask God for counsel and God says go to the ants, will you take it serious? Did you get what I just said now? He said, God, I'm confused. I don't know what to do about my academics, about my career, about my business, about my ministry. And God said, my servant, go to the ants. I'm like, ah. If he said, go to Pastor Demola, okay, I will go. Or go to Professor so and so, you will go. Or go to Dr. so and so. But he said, go to the ants. How can God be telling all of us who are big, who are bogus, who can reason, to go to one of the littlest animals on the earth, the ants? Because this scripture actually is an instruction. Go to what? The ants. So what are you supposed to go to the ant to go and do? Go and learn wisdom. Is that not what the Bible says? He said, go to the ant. Maybe I should read that before I go to that Proverbs 30. I need to rush through this because I have some things I want to draw from the story of the ants. I pray for you this morning. You will not just be familiar with this teaching in the name of Jesus. You will sip out the wisdom or sip it contained therein in the name of Jesus. He said, go to the hands, you sluggard. Let's run through it very fast. And I go to verse chapter 30. Go to the hands, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be what? Wise. So number one, the ants are not sluggish. Is that clear to somebody? Is that clear to somebody? The ants are not what? So God is saying you must not be sluggish. You must not be slothful. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Some people are fervent in the spirit, but they are slothful in business. They won't still make it. So it is not spiritual fervency alone that makes for a life of success. It's a not slothful in business. And somebody said, if you are slothful, you will miss your slot in life. The best of slots in life is not meant for the slothful. If you are slothful, you will miss your slot in life. If you are slothful in ministry, slothful in business, slothful in career, slothful in finance. But you know, God, in Psalm 16, the psalmist said, God maintains our lot. Am I correct? But for God to maintain your lot, you need to partner with Him by not being slothful. Because if God is maintaining your lot and you are slothful, you will miss the lot that God has maintained for you. Down, slothful, slots, and lots. Write it down. They are rhymes, or they sound alike, or something like that. Am I correct? Lots. I'm not a grammarian. I don't know if there's anything like slots. S-L-O-T-H. Amen. It's slothful. Let's assume there is slots. Alright? So slots. So a slot is somebody that is slothful. Do you see that now? For me, my grammar, I don't know whether it's correct. But there's something like being slothful. Am I correct? To be slothful is to be sluggish. So in my own explanation, I can say a slot, S-L-O-T-H, is that person that is slothful. Am I correct? So a slot will miss his slot, and he will not get his lot in life. You see that now? A slot, S-L-O-T-H, meaning somebody that is slow. Did you see that now? He's slow. Eh? He will miss his slot, S-L-O-T, meaning his opportunity. Because life is by slots. I'm sure you know that. For some of you who are believing for admission to undergraduate study or postgraduate, they said they only gave 70 slots for electrical engineering, or 20. Am I right? In the civil service is employing, they will say in the whatever department, they are only given 5 slots. I stand as God's servant today. Anyone here that is applying for something that requires slots, you will not miss your slots. In the name of Jesus. Because that's life. Life for everybody. Amen. Opportunities can never... I have never seen any school that admitted everybody. If a school admits everybody, put question mark on that school. It's a mushroom school. Even some of these private schools, they don't admit everybody. Even though their criteria can be low, but it will still get off some people. Am I correct? So the slot, we miss its slot. And at the end of the day, he will not be able to get his lot in life. So he said, go to the hand, ye sluggards. So number one, the hand, they are not sluggish. And I see the Holy Spirit painting a picture in my spirit. Be sluggish to fall of the mind or of the heart. Because you know, I'm just imagining some hands. How can you tell me an hand is not sluggish? How can you tell me that? An hand can tell maybe, I don't know, somehow wants to get from this altar to the other end of the, maybe something like that. It can take some hours or something like, maybe some minutes. But how long will it take you to get there? Seconds. So if the Bible says the hands are not sluggish, it probably is not talking about the external motion. It's talking about their internal configuration. That there is an energy in the mind of an ant. Do you understand? There's an energy in the heart of an ant that God wants us to learn. Because even a lame man can't be compared to an ant. But so God would not have been talking about the physical side or the external side of the hand. He's talking about the internal side, substance of the heart, the hand. So when I talk about being sluggish, it's of the mind. It's of the mind. Who is a sluggish person? He's very slow in processing divine information. He's very slow. When there are information that will change our destiny is passing, he's slow. Even though he can be on the road running up and down, but in the mind he's sluggish. I don't know if you get my point. So life does not answer. No, that's why Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. He said, the race is not to the swift. Am I correct? Not the battle to the strong. Not bread to men of wisdom. Not favor to men of skill. He said, but time and what? And chance happens to them all. So what does that mean? The difference between success and failure is our responsiveness to time and opportunities. Write it down. The difference between success and failure is not our physical speed, as it were. It is our responsiveness to opportunity. That's what Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 tells us. He said, and I consider and I beheld that under the sun, that the race is not to the swift. You know, the encouragement the Holy Ghost is giving me now is that somebody can be in the service this morning and say, Pastor, but you know me, I'm not the... It's not about the physical. You know, some of us are reserved. I'm not like that. I'm talking about something in the mind. First of all. Because somebody can be very energetic, very driven. Say the race is not to the swift, the battle is not of bread to men of wisdom, nor favor to men of skill. So in case you are here, you are saying, Pastor, you know me, I'm not skillful. Am I against skill? I'm putting out a division now maybe for Tuesday or Wednesday. I said, even though the race is not to the swift, we have got to learn speed. Even though bread is not to men of wisdom, we are supposed to acquire wisdom. Am I correct? You will see that maybe on Tuesday or in my division. Alright, even though favor is not a man of skill, we are supposed to still acquire skill. Because somebody can read that thing and say, oh, you did not read Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. What are you gathering skill for? Say, the race is not to this. Why are you this fast? Bro, you need to be fast. You need to acquire skill. Alright, you need to get wisdom. Alright, you need to acquire skill. But understand that there is something beyond all of those. And that is the energy in your mind. Say, the energy in my mind. Somebody can be skillful, but every opportunity is passing him by. Even those who are not as skillful as him, they are getting some slot in life. Am I correct? He is very skillful. He has all the certificates in this world. He has all the degree more than the thermometer. Amen. Amen. Alright. So the hand, they are not sluggish. Number two. He said, consider our ways. So the hands have their ways or have their ways. So the hands can be predictable. Am I correct? So if you are here, you are a half that person. God says, consider the ways of the hand. Some people don't have ways. Even God has ways. Am I correct? Isaiah 55. He said, my ways are not your ways. Am I correct? And your thoughts are not my thoughts. So God has thought. God has ways. Psalm 103 verse 7. The Bible said, God showed his ways unto Moses, but his act unto the children of what? Israel. So God himself has ways. God can be defined. So write this statement that you have got to be defined. When you wake up in the morning and somebody say, Alpha, what is still on Shelelene, but what is on for the woke? Happiness. Don't just say happiness. Is that what we say in our language? Say what's happiness? Happiness. No. Beyond happiness, you must happen to life. Amen. Hallelujah. You just wake up, somebody ask me Alpha. I say, I don't even know. So your life must be defined. What kind of business are you doing? It must be defined. Hallelujah. He said, consider our ways and learn what? He begins to tell us the peculiarity of the ant and the wisdom we can learn. He said, the ants have no captain, overseer, or ruler. So write this statement that the hand self-led. Say self-led. Say self-led. You know, God has delivered us from lameness. A lame person depends on another person to make progress. Is that clear? You know, a lame person depends on somebody else. But understand that the hands, the Bible said they have no captain, they have no overseer, they have no ruler. Can you imagine that? The government of the hand is more orderly than the government of most African nations. Did you get what I just said now? If you get to the community of a hand, they are more organized and orderly and sane than most nations of Africa. He said they have no overseer. So I believe that our problem sometimes is not leadership. And I will explain myself. Our problem is our mindset. I'm a leadership person, so I believe there's a fundamental leadership problem that we have. But I love what Reverend Sam Adeyemi said. He said, we are the government. We are the what? Powerful. In fact, I think he even wrote a book on that. We are the government. Because in a part of the world like Nigeria, everything is government. If he didn't iron your clothes, he said it's Fashola. He promised us 25 megawatts. Is it Fashola that says you don't iron your clothes? Organization will tell you that the clothes we put on the church on Sunday, what pops you? I have ironed this my shirt since. Is it Tuesday now? Amen. Amen. Somebody now say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't come to church. I was waiting for NEPA to bring light. Eh? In the morning, they did not bring light. I have ironed this one since Tuesday. I arrived from a trip last night. From last night to this morning, I have not seen light. But was I stranded? Did you get that now? As if I know that the unthinkable, the unexpected can happen. So I just pick my shirt that we wear on Sunday. I ironed it on Tuesday. I could have just been saying, okay, God knows better. Okay, let's hope that. You know, you don't just hope that. So if I now come from a trip last night and I put on a rough cloth to church this morning, I say, God understands. No, people that will succeed in life, they don't live their life by that. You don't say, God, we understand. So the hands, they are self-led. Please write this statement. They are self-led. They are self-led. I know God has delivered me and all of us from every form of lameness, because when a man is lame, he cannot be self-led. He will depend on people. We say it in the church world. We talk about the fact that some people are wheelbarrow Christians, while some are locomotives. A wheelbarrow Christian needs somebody to push him. A wheelbarrow can't make progress on its own. Am I correct? Even if you attempt to push a wheelbarrow, alright, it can only move as long as you are still pushing it. All of us need a push. Am I right? But we don't need the push that will become permanent in our lives. Did you get what I said now? Because even if you push a wheelbarrow, it will be making progress. The moment you remove your hand, the wheelbarrow stops. That's the way some people are. Everybody has got to need a push. I need a push. Somebody doing business needs a push. Somebody can say, can I give you 50K to put into that business? Remember that if you want to learn from an ant, you must not require that 50K every time. You know, people, that's the way they live their life. Somebody gave 50K. What's the drive when? Am I correct? So you are expecting that in the next 6 months, you give another 50K. So a wheelbarrow Christian always requires somebody to give them the needed progress they want in life. But a locomotive, trigger lo need. Amen. Praise God. Just a trigger is enough. It will be self-led, as it were. It will be self-led. I cannot ask somebody this morning, how far can you go by being a wheelbarrow? How far? You can't go far. How far can you go by being externally pushed? You can't go far. Because the person that is pushing you will soon be tired. Am I correct? Have you seen somebody that push a wheelbarrow for too long? He will be tired. And you have to attend to your own life yourself. So I'm not saying we don't need a push. I need a push. You need a push. But understand that the push is not supposed to be a permanent thing. Once somebody pushes you, then they... Just like when a car stalled and it's not moving. Sometimes people push it. But understand that no matter how hefty those guys pushing it, they tell the driver, hey, you say, am I correct? Because, amen. They expect that their external push will meet with an internal whatever in the locomotive that will now bring the self-leadership. Am I correct? But they keep pushing. The thing is not leading itself. They will say, Do you understand? So the Bible says, the man, they have no overseer. They have no governor, as it were. But they are very organized. They are very organized. So anybody that must succeed in life must learn the art of self-leadership. I need to write this one. I've said it in different ways. Write it down. You must learn the art of self-leadership. You must be able to lead yourself. But like in a country like ours, that we don't really have leaders we can call leaders. So don't make the failure of worry become your own failure. Amen. I said amen. When you get to heaven, you don't have to go to heaven and be saying, God, it is Buhari or God. Says, is Buhari your God? Is that Buhari or Jonathan or Atiku or whoever is in power at whatever time? He said, they have no overseer, captain or ruler, provides that our supplies in the summer, gathers our food in the harvest. I'm reading verse 8 now. Verse 9 says, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? You know, I wrote that in my diary. I call it sleep management. Say sleep management. I'm sure we are all familiar with time management. But maybe I will do a teaching around that, maybe in Leaders Arise. Anybody that must be a leader must have what I call sleep management. Do you understand? You must have what I call what? Some people cannot manage sleep. They cannot manage sleep. And I don't know how best to say it. They cannot. The reason why some people are failing is not because of the devil, but because of sleep. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the arm is neither slumber or something like that. Alright. Say, okay. Say, how long will you slumber, oh sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? May you rise from your sleep. There is spiritual sleep, there is mental sleep, there is physical sleep. You know, the deadliest of them is spiritual sleep, followed by mental, then followed by physical sleep. Some people may not be sleeping physically, but they are spiritually asleep. They are mentally asleep. Their brain is not waking up. Our brain will wake up in Jesus' name. Tell, will you sleep or slumber? Well, will you slumber or sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Hey, is that a little sleep? A little slumber? A little folding of the hands to sleep. You know that? You know what that means? He's not on the bed. He's in church like this. Folding of the hands to sleep. Look at the resources. Those are your poverty. Come on you like a prowler. And your need like an harmed man. So poverty and need that you always have, you are always wanting, they are caused by not learning from the heart, by being, by oversleeping, by slumbering. May you not slumber. I said, may you not slumber. Can I tell somebody this morning is sleep management? I'm sorry, we don't. Because we feel like waking up. We wake up because we should wake up. I am the controller of sleep. It's not the sleep that is controlling me. You get what I said? Now this may look elementary. May look. It's not even elementary. Everybody must overcome sleep. Did you get what I said? I am the one dictating to sleep. Sleep is not dictating to me. I know for some people it's sleep that is dictating to them. But I am the one dictating. I will tell sleep. Some people even sleep to a point that they become tired. Because sleep is a work. Say, Pastor, me, I don't have work, but I can sleep. Have you ever slept before that you become tired? Do you know that everything that God created, He puts checks and balances? If you oversleep, you will not get the blessing of sleep. Do you get what I said? I said everything that God created, He put checks and balance. If you oversleep, you won't get the blessing of sleep. Because one of the blessings of sleep is that your body should recoup, replenish, and get better. Am I correct? That you wake up, you are strong. You are finer. You're mentally sound. Everything is perfect. But if you overdo it, it will perform the reverse. I'm telling you. Has somebody witnessed that before? That you overslept, that you woke up, So, to my mind, there is a juncture between when you should stop sleep and when you should continue. So, the moment you're supposed to stop and you continue, you enter the other dimension of sleep. Sleep now becomes work. I will give you several examples. You know, when you are sleeping, there is a time you should wake up. Either the Holy Spirit or your consciousness will wake you up, except you are lying. But you now have a choice to determine whether I want to stop sleeping or continue what? Sleeping. If you stop sleeping, even if your body is still looking like it's demanding sleep, you will discover that you will catch in on the blessing that the sleep is supposed to deliver. But if you continue to sleep, you have entered they call it in economy, the law of diminishing return. Is it diminishing return they call it? The thing will just be diminishing. The energy you gathered for 4-6 hours Because you have extended the sleep to 2 hours, you have dissipated the energy for the next 2 hours. I'm not trying to be psychological. I'm just telling you the truth. Whether it is spiritually, there is a spiritual benefit of sleep. Do you understand? There is a mental benefit, there is a physical benefit. So all of these benefits are hanging on my understanding the limit of sleep. Why are some people not having a strong spiritual life today? Now sleep. Oh. Now sleep. Amen. If I ask you now, how was your quiet time today? Say, Pastor, we needed to be in fast track service, so I didn't have quiet time. Listen to me, fast track service must not replace your quiet time. Did you get what I said? Say, Pastor, it's not easy. God didn't say it would be easy, but God said it would be possible. Amen. Praise God. Let me run. Are you following me this morning? Amen. Say this in capital letters, sleep management. That might be a word for somebody you are going to take home. Sleep management. Some people have missed the interview because of sleep. Amen. Some have gone late for examination. And you know the way it happens. Sleep is a habit. Alright. You might think all is well now. But if you form the habit of oversleeping, when you need the sleep at, when you need to wake up at critical juncture, you know your body will only do what it has been used to doing. You get what I said? Your body will only do what it does. So if your body has been used to oversleeping, because Michelle, listen to me, everybody. If you are here, you are not on a paid job. As in, you don't really have anything you are doing. Can I give you this formula? Don't live your life as though you are jobless. You know, I discussed that last Sunday or 2 Sundays ago. So if you don't have anywhere you are going, no paid job, maybe no business, Asha for Washa, can I encourage you? If you sleep by, let's assume you sleep by 10 p.m. or 11 or 9 p.m., wake up by 4. Do you understand? Do your quiet time, maybe till 5-6, depending on the time you use. Go take your bath, brush your teeth. Do you understand? Put up your dress and dress ready for life. But you know what we do today? I don't have where I'm going, so I gave my body permission to sleep till 10 a.m. And when you even wake up by 10 a.m., you won't brush your teeth. It may look elementary, but I'm telling you about wisdom for life. You don't take your bath, you don't brush your teeth. I'm sure you will have eaten. Amen. Praise God. Alright. And when it is 4 p.m. or 4:30, I know you do it. God has forgiven you in advance. Amen. When it's 4:30 or 5 p.m., maybe you have to come for midweek service or go out to check on a friend. You now quickly go and take your bath. Can I tell you, you have wasted hours of the day. Because the way God designed your body is that the body must be prepared for work and for life. Do you understand? The body must be prepared. So there is something that going to take your bed does for your body. Hallelujah. There is something that brushing your teeth. Oh, Pastor, you are teaching us how to brush our teeth. I'm not teaching you how to brush your teeth. I'm teaching you how to be packaged for life. That you wake up, brush your teeth, take your bed, put on your clothes. Hey, Pastor, where am I going? This boxer is okay, brother. The boxer is not okay. Sorry. Put on your clothes. So, after I've brushed my teeth, after I've taken my bath, after I've put on my clothes, where do I go? The way where to go is, if you have a table and a chair, and if it is mat that you have, sit down there. You understand? If you have a table and a chair, fine. Sit down. Put a book in your front and let life start at 7:30 a.m. So, why the people who at the moment they are on a paid job, they are living for work, they must also be seeing you at work. Not that they are waking you up by 2:08 and say, I'm going, no. Don't forget to lock to lock the door. Can you imagine? It's one of the most whatever way to live. The people that are going, if it is their sound that wakes you up. Can you imagine that? Your neighbor starts his car, and you it must have been 7:30. You used to leave 7:30. So that's what wakes you up. Hallelujah. Because when they see that you are sleeping, that's when the world can say, Mofosha sit down. In case it rains, help me. You don't know what they will say. But if they see that you are dressed ready for life, they just assume in their consciousness that you are going out. So you won't be the person to send that kind of errand. But that's what some people do now. Somebody is coming to see me by 1 p.m. If he comes, tell him. So they know that you will be at home. Praise God. So when you wake up, take your bed, dress, 7:30, and that will also help you when you now get a job. If you already put yourself in the mood, and that will even help you to get a job, because life responds to your preparedness. If you are not prepared and packaging yourself as though you are working, the job will not come. I'm telling you, the job will not come. So write it down. First, sleep in different ways, but write it down in your notes. Sleep management. I know we have been taught time management. Sleep management. Because people manage sleep, but the poverty will come like an armed man. Can you imagine poverty coming prepared? But that's what it means. The poverty will come prepared. It won't attack you by accident. Amen. Can you imagine? Poverty will come like an armed man. It's prepared to attack. So how can poverty be coming with preparation, and the person that poverty is coming to attack is still sleeping? Who will win the attack? Is it the sleeping man or the armed poverty? Praise God. May you not be poor. I said, may you not be poor. Poverty, prosperity doesn't answer to prayer alone. It answers to some of these things I'm sharing. Let's read Proverbs 30. I will stop from here because of time. Is somebody getting something? Proverbs 18, because of time. He said, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on the rock. So look at that, the way of an eagle in the air. Proverbs 30 from verse 18. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. Where I'm even going is verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth. Where I'm going is verse 24, really. How many things which are little on the earth? Do we think that because they are little, they are inconsequential? No. So my littleness is not my problem. My wisdom is my problem. Amen. My wisdom or lack of it. Say, Pastor, you know me, I'm little. I have little money. I have little certificate. I have little stature. I have little spiritual life. I have little everything. Littleness is not supposed to be a problem. Wisdom is a problem. That four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Did you see that now? They are what? Exceedingly wise. And you know, when I read this verse 25, I shivered. When the Bible says the ant are a people, I don't know how to explain that one. I'm sure it's just maybe it's grammar, but how can the Bible say the ant are a people? So God, this is something that looks like humanity in ants. The ant are a people. That's not grammatically or biologically correct. Am I right? The ants are not people, they are animals. Am I correct? So what makes somebody a person or an animal is the wisdom that is operational in that person's life. You see what I said now? What makes somebody an animal or a person is the wisdom that is operating in that person's life. So an ant became a person. The community of an ant became a community of people because wisdom resides in their camp. Hey, did you see that now? He said the ants are a people. So when I read this, I shivered. How can the Bible says the ants are a people? Not strong. What an emphasis. Not strong. Yeah, they prepared their food in the summer. Am I correct? So the ants won't lack what to eat. What kills an ant is longevity, not hunger. Did you see that now? I don't know how long ants live, but they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the cracks. The locusts have no king, yet they advance in ranks. Did you see that now? They have no king and they are orderly. They advance in ranks. Have you ever seen a group of ants moving before? They are orderly. You can draw a line in their motion. Am I correct? You won't see one ant and that ant there. No, they move orderly. In fact, sometimes it is. Have you seen some maybe ants on the sandy floor before? You may not know they are there, but once you see the pattern, Maybe an ant is still there or they have just passed. Am I correct? So ants are orderly. You can see patterns in their life. So I want to ask you today, what are those patterns in your own life? Are you defined? Are you describable? Are you predictable? Are you orderly? Can somebody want to talk about you and he has some things to say that can define you properly, different from another person? Not that, well, that guy, well, you just know, I don't know for the guy, or in fact, may you not be like that. I love this next one. 28 said, the spider's skillful grasp with his hand and is in skillfully grasp. Let's look at it. Said, the spider takes hold with her hands and is in what? This one blew my mind. Amen. How many of you want to go to the palace? You want to be in the palace. It may not be palace in terms of whatever. I mean important places. Alright? We need to learn the wisdom of the spider. Hallelujah. Spiders have no restriction. Hallelujah. Now there are some places that have restricted access, but not for spiders. They are everywhere. May you be everywhere that you need to be. Chiasso Rock, you will see spider there. Amen. See, because the cleaners are not doing their job. No. There is a job that a cleaners does or cleaners do that they can't find, you know, the spider. Praise the Lord. The spider does is that they know how to build web. Say web. Say web. I didn't touch my note. I think I need to stop. Say web. You know, when a spider gets to a new location, its first priority is to build web. How many of you understand that? Have you saw this spider in recent time? Their priority is not to sleep. Their priority is not to even be looking for food. Their priority is to build web. Alright? Number one thing that the web does is that it helps their motion. One of the reasons why spiders are not easily killed is that they know how to build web. And they are the only one that knows how to maneuver their own web. Am I correct? Am I correct? You think you want to, they can maneuver it because they build it. Or they built it. So spider's priority is to build web, not to look for money or food. It's not to sleep. So what must be my priority as a child of God and as someone that wants to fulfill destiny? I must know how to build web. Web of relationship. Hallelujah. Build web of wisdom. Build web of activities around my life that will secure my tomorrow. Some people don't have such webs in their life. Their tomorrow is not secure. Katakata can burst and they are running out of skelter. You enter a new location, build web. A web talks about something that can sustain your life. Amen. A web talks about a shield of protection. That once you enter into your web, the enemy can't get at you again. Amen. Because when the enemy is after a spider, what he's looking for is his web. Am I correct? Am I correct? He's looking for his web. So when the enemy is after you, what web are you going to go after? Because once you enter that web of relationship, web of wisdom, web of daily activities, you are unstoppable and unkillable by the devil. Stand to your feet. So what webs? And webs are carefully built. Web don't disappear. Anytime you see a web in a place, know that a spider is there or has been there. Am I correct? A web does not get there by accident. Amen. So relationships are not built by accident. Wisdom is not gathered by accident. Habits are not formed by accident or are not supposed to be formed by accident. Habits are supposed to be formed by intentional and intelligent practices. You don't just say spiritual suddenly. It doesn't happen that way. You can't be spiritual suddenly. You are spiritual by the activities that you put into your life. Structure. Somebody say structures. You don't find yourself wealthy suddenly. If wealth comes suddenly, it will go suddenly. Did you get what I said now? If wealth comes suddenly, it will go suddenly. But if wealth comes by intentional and intelligent practices and action, it can be a sustainable wealth. I want you to talk to God. I see God told me this morning that there are two services today. They are wisdom impartation services. That's what he told me. Wisdom impartation service. Second service, I'll be discussing relationship and marriage. I see God bringing wisdom to us beyond what we can ever imagine. I want you to put your two hands on your head. Let's pray together. Because I'm done now. Service is over or almost over. I want you to receive that wisdom impartation. Don't say, Pastor, this your message is too hard. It's not hard. Put your two hands on your head. Don't be finer than this prayer. Don't say, Pastor, I don't want to. No, put your two hands on your head. Because God told me that it's a wisdom. You can keep playing the keyboard. We are doing this together. All right. Put your two hands on your head and begin to receive that impartation of wisdom. You are wondering, Pastor, this message I love is powerful, but how do I go about it? You are going to receive impartation now. You will know how to go about it. Very powerful teaching, but this thing said, I don't know how to do. Don't worry, as you put two hands on your head, there is an impartation of wisdom coming upon you. There is an impartation of wisdom coming upon you. Wisdom to live life. Wisdom to get advantage out of life. Wisdom to rise beyond limitation and limits. Wisdom to get out of your comfort zone to your destiny zone. Wisdom to achieve the unachievable. Wisdom to get your life off the ground. Wisdom to get your marriage working. Wisdom to get your career working. Wisdom to get your business working. Wisdom to get your ministry working. Wisdom to get your finances working. Wisdom to get every department of your life working. Come up with your two hands on your head. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost and receive that impartation of wisdom. There is a distilled wisdom. There is a distilled wisdom coming upon somebody this morning. You are living out of this service a wise man. You are living this service a wise woman. You are living this service a wise businessman, a wise student, a wise pastor, a wise minister, a wise husband, a wise wife. You are living this place with an impartation of wisdom. Come ahead and receive it now. Receive it now. We have 30 seconds more to pray. I encourage you to pray. Something is happening to you. You are living this service with that baptism of wisdom. This is wisdom for living. Coming upon somebody this morning. Lord, I receive that impartation of wisdom. We receive that impartation of wisdom. Oh, we receive that impartation of wisdom. Come and take it now. God is saying to tell somebody, I'm banishing confusion out of your life. You will no longer be confused. You will no longer be confused. I'm banishing confusion. You will no longer be confused. You have light. You have understanding. You have direction. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You know what to do. You know how to do it. Lord, we receive this impartation of wisdom. We receive this impartation of wisdom. We receive this impartation of wisdom. Come on, receive your own. You can receive it for every department of your life. Receive it for your finance, for your business, for your career, for your marriage, for your relationship, for your health. Maybe you are here, your health is challenging. There is a wisdom God is about to give you that will terminate every health challenge. Come on, receive it. Male Kaso Pradesh Kapradesh Kapradesh Kapradesh. Embrade Sharia Namas Ria Namasha. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. All eyes closed. Two things God is doing now. God is banishing folly. You know, maybe when we get the second service, I beg, if you can make the second service, make sure you make it. I'll be reading, I'm preaching, I'm prophesying from that Isaiah 35. He said, God is building a highway. So a highway shall be there. Alright, it shall be a way of holiness. He said, God will lead that way for us. But he said, fools will not find that way. today I stand as God's servant. Today I declare every manifestation of folly, known and unknown, is hereby banished from our lives. You know, some people can be foolish, but they don't know. They don't know. So they are not intentionally foolish. They are unintentional. I declare today, wherever folly is manifesting, today, this meeting, this service, this message cancels it away from your life. Today, in place of folly, you receive a fresh baptism of wisdom. That every way that God is building in your life, enrooting your life, bringing stuff into your life, you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. All eyes closed again. You are here, you are not born again. He said, a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. You are here, you are not born again. You are not holy. No matter what you do, Jesus makes us holy. He makes us righteous before the Father. You might be morally perfect, but if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God sees you as unrighteous. Not because of what you do or what you do not do, but because of the fact that you have not staged a relationship with Jesus who has become our righteousness. All eyes closed, all led by, you are not born again, you are in this service. Kindly put your right hand on your chest. Let me pray for you or pray with you. Because Christ has become for us the wisdom and the power of God. Without Christ, there is no wisdom. Why we can leave, put our hands off our heads, why we put our, whoever is responding to this prayer, put your right hand on your chest. I want to pray with you. But you are listening to this teaching anywhere in the world, or on the TV, on the radio, and you are not born again, you want to give your life to Jesus. Jesus has become our wisdom. He has become our righteousness. He has become our perfection. Put your right hand on your chest. Let me pray with you. If you are in the congregation, let's pray together this morning. Or you are listening anywhere in the world, make today your day of salvation. Lord, I pray, let's pray together. If you listen to me, you're in service or listen to this message, just repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word about today. I'm making today, 11th of August 2019, the day of my salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for dying and resurrecting for my sake. Today I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I declare that I'm born again, and so shall it be, in Jesus' name I pray. Lord, if you have made that prayer, I don't want to say you are born again. If you are in service, we want to see you after the service, or you are listening to this teaching, you can get the number that will be that will be put across at the end of the teaching. You may want to call us and let's get to talk together. I declare over everyone who have prayed this salvation, I declare that you are saved, you are born again. In the name of Jesus, the hold of sin is broken in your life. I declare from today you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is well with you. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Put your right hand on your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't know why God is putting this in my spirit. If you read Isaiah, I think chapter 40, it's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be leveled. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough shall be made smooth. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be seen, and all flesh will see. Today I declare that in your life the glory of God shall be seen. Every single glory is hereby found. Every glory that has been hidden is hereby unleashed. Today in your career, the glory of God shall be seen. In your marriage, the glory of God shall be seen. In your business and finance, the glory of God shall be seen. In your ministry, the glory of God shall be seen. In every area of your life, the glory of God shall be seen. I declare you blessed this morning, and so shall it be. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.thedestinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks, and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.